Everybody's sitting in the back. Hold it down.
Hold it down. Well, we're certainly glad to be here this morning. We came through about three rainstorms before we got here. And I understand it's going to be quite a bit more before today's over with. So just hang on. I call it liquid sunshine.
Amen.
Nothing's going to get better. Amen. We're all looking for a new day. The new day when we walk through the gates of heaven. I'm looking for that new day dawning. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morn. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there. I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morn. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
I'm gonna sit by the crystal river, dangle my feet in the cool, clear blue.
I'm gonna sing with the saints and angels. I'm gonna be there. How about you? Well, I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morn. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
I've got a lot of old friends and loved ones. Some already have gone before.
Hand in hand we'll tour that city. Then we'll kneel at the feet of our Lord. Well, I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morn. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be there. I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morn. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there. I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morn. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be there.
Well, the last time we were putting this little project together, we were deciding on the name for the project, for the album. And every song kept leading back to the fact that no matter how unfaithful we are to Jesus, He is always faithful to us. Great is His faithfulness. And we thought, wow, that would be a phenomenal name. And why not include that awesome, awesome song, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Morning, new mercies.
quick introduction. We are Canaan Land. We say we're from Princeton because Miss Shirley is from Princeton. Miss Shirley started this group about 43 years ago and has been singing straight through 43 years. I think it's phenomenal. If you're glad to see Shirley Edwards this morning, give her a hand.
I'm sure glad to see you.
LaRue Tart comes from Grantham. Everybody knows where Grantham is.
Rural part of Goldsboro. Ever heard of Goldsboro? This is the hand, yes. This is no.
It's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. I'm dead. But LaRue's been singing for 24 years with Shirley. And if you're glad to see LaRue Tart this morning, give her a hand.
I am blessed to be here. Thank you.
My name's Jimmy Martin. I'm from Mount Olive. Everybody knows where Mount Olive is because we all eat pickles. And I think I've been singing with this group about 9 years or so. And it's been a real blessing. LaRue writes some of the songs. Canaan Land has a wonderful message. And we love to sing to you guys. But I'm telling you, we're glad you're here and we're glad you're listening. This morning, we're singing to an audience of one, and you just happen to be here. So enjoy it if you can, but we're singing all our praises to Him. Amen. That sounds like home to me.
Somewhere just across the Jordan River, there's a place of everlasting joy. Where the stream of life is flowing there forever, and the crown of life is waiting there for me.
That sounds like home to me, right? Where I want to be, there'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory, where the same of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
They say there's only joy inside that city, a crystal river flowing by the tree of life. No pain or disappointments there to hurt us, for Jesus Christ Himself will be the light.
precious place called home. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Amen. Amen. How many of you like a little bluegrass sound? Okay, you've got a little bluegrass. All right. Well, if you happen to jump up, but see, Shirley attends the Pentecostal Holiness Church, and LaRue attends the Pentecostal Holiness Church. I'm a disciple of Christ. But they rub off on me every now and again, so I get weak in the knees. So I tell folks, you got two happy clappies and a frozen chosen, but we're coming at you, all right?
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
I am so wondrously saved from sin.
Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet.
Well, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Yes. I heard a song before we started doing this album. I said, Shirley, we have absolutely got to do the song. I was riding in my pickup. I was putting up hay, as a matter of fact. And I just stopped in the middle of the street, in the middle of the road. And I almost started running around the truck. Now, Shirley said, get him, Jesus. That's what she said. Get him, Jesus. But this song is so powerful. It speaks to us today because it brings in the tone that we need to be aware of today, and that's the tone of forgiveness. There's so much for us to forgive others for, and there's so much for them to forgive us for. But if you remember, Jesus girded, in the book of John, Jesus girded the towel, and He washed the disciples' feet. He even washed Judas's feet. Knowing what Judas was going to do to Him, He washed his feet. And He calls on us to do that. Forgiveness is a hard animal, very hard, but He calls on us to do that. So let's try to be more like Him. The night that I would betray Him, the precious Lamb of God. No other disciple was aware of my plan till He rose from the table with something in His hand. His holy eyes pierced through me revealing all my sin. I knew his wrath was coming, and this would be the end.
But he bowed and he washed my feet. No.
I gave in to Satan's compromise. Ungrateful when Jesus had saved me from hell. I was walking so proudly. That's when I fell. His holy eyes pierced through me, revealing all my sin. I knew his wrath was coming, and this would be the end.
But he bowed and he washed my feet.
Song just kind of says it all, and this, especially in this climate of today. So, Lord loves a cheerful giver. He loves you when you forgive too. So remember that. There was something else he also promised in the scripture. He said, you know what? I want very much for you to believe in me and that I died on the cross to save you of your sins. And I want to see you in heaven. But I promise you that if you will make that commitment, everything's not going to be a bed of roses from here on out. You're going to have disappointments. You're going to have sadness. You're going to have joys. And it's going to be like a roller coaster. But I'll tell you, brethren, and he said this in the scripture, that if you take that morning and you give it to me, I will turn it into dancing. Amen. What a promise.
It's been raining for so long, I barely remember when the sun was bright and the world was right. I cried tears I didn't know I had. Some nights I just held on and prayed for dawn. God has promised.
what he said he would do.
So let the storm do what it will. I'm gonna keep trusting God is in control, and I will rest my soul. And I'll be standing when the storm is past. I'll see his glory come. When this is done, I know he'll do what he said, and I will not forget.
He said he would turn my morning into dancing. He said he would turn my sorrow into joy. His promise is that every day his mercy will be new. And I believe that he will do just what he said he would do. When it seems all hope, sorrow into joy. His promise is that every day his mercy will be new. And I believe that he will do just what he said he would do.
He will do.
He will do what he said he would do.
Every time.
Now, I understand Pastor Wes is going to speak this morning. I'm looking forward to that. Before he comes up, we've got one song. We just want to remind you that there are many miracles in this Bible. But the greatest of all miracles is when Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb and lives again and is in heaven today and has saved us from our sins. Amen. He paid that price. But that is the greatest of all miracles.
I wasn't there by the shores of Galilee when Jesus touched those blinded eyes and made them see. And though I did not see the empty tomb that day, I still believe, for I know
there is hope. what Jesus did for me.
Him another hand. I pray that you never forget what Jesus has done for you. Amen. We thank Canaan Land for being with us today, and it's just a blessing. And as you open your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to John chapter 1, we're going to back up a few chapters here. We'll come back to chapter 6 in a few weeks, but I wanted to talk to you this morning. It is Father's Day. I need to talk to fathers a little bit. I want to talk to you about God's call on our life. He calls dads to the witness stand, and to understand what it means to be a witness for God, a witness for Jesus Christ, what it means to give a testimony of Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this last week, and I was going back reading through John here as I was preparing a sermon over in chapter 6, and it just struck me here about John the Baptist. When you come to verse 6, it says, "There came a man sent from God whose name was John." Now, let me say something here. In the Gospel of John, it is written by the Apostle John. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. However, in his Gospel here, he never identifies himself as John. He always says, "I'm the disciple that Jesus loved." He just couldn't get over Jesus loving him enough that he died for him. It just stuck out in his mind. So when he talks about John, anytime he's referring to John, he's referring to John the Baptist. And he doesn't even call him John the Baptizer. He says, look, if you've sat down and read through, Jimmy, if you've read through my gospel and you're coming back and you're reading it the second time, you know I'm talking about John the Baptist. He come baptizing. He come with power. So I want us to think about John the Baptist, and he gives us an understanding of what it means or what God desires for us to be as a witness. It says here that there came a man sent from God. Now, John the Baptist had a miracle birth. His mom and daddy were old. They both come from the priestly line of Levi. They were of the priestly descent. John was a miracle birth there in his mother in Elizabeth's old age. Also, the Holy Spirit indwelt him from the beginning of his life. If you remember when Mary, Jesus' mother, entered into the room with Elizabeth, she said that John leaped in her womb because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine coming out of the womb proclaiming Jesus your whole life? It would have sure saved me 31 years of mistakes. Amen. Because if I was talking about Jesus, I could be talking about some of them other things I was doing. Amen. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He went about testifying. We see here that he came and was sent from God. In other words, God sent him to be a witness. It says here in verse 2 that he came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe in him. Now, when you think about this idea of witness and testimony, it gives us this courtroom idea. In today's life, if you think about how things go on in today's life, everything is tried in the court of public opinion. In other words, that means that it refers to using media or news media to sway support in favor of one opinion or another one. The other day, I was waiting for somebody to get done giving a speech, and they never come out and gave the speech, but the news come on and told me what they said, how it was good for me, and what was going on. And I'm like, well, how do I know they've even spoke yet? Amen? And social media, TV programs, everything that we have, all the mediums of communication now influence our judgment. Now, it has been said to never take down a fence until you know why it's there. God is the ultimate authority over all creation because He created all things. He created them to work in a certain way. And if we obey Him and live according to His principles and His guidelines, life just goes better for us. Doesn't mean it's always going to be perfect. Hey, bad things happen to good people. There's evil in this world, that's for sure. But God is the ultimate authority. But nowadays, the ultimate authority has been transferred to the individual. If you watch some of the sitcoms that come on regular 8 o'clock TV, on air TV I call it, antenna TV, you don't even have to go to something pay-per-view. You just watch some of these shows and it'll say, long as I'm happy and not hurting nobody else, everything's good. We just have to agree to disagree. But there's one truth, and that is God's truth. And for us to understand His authority, we have to understand how to submit to His truth. So this idea here is being called to a witness stand. In other words, He is calling John up to the witness stand, and He says, I want you to testify about the light. As He calls him up, John was sent by God as a witness, and he had a twofold purpose. He was to testify about the light. In other words, he comes up, raise your right hand, put your hand on the Bible, and do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? I do. Fathers, that's what we're called to do today. We need to open up our Bibles and tell our families the truth. We need to stand by that truth. And the second purpose that John had was so that all would believe through his witness testimony about the light. So he was coming to testify to the truth of something that God had revealed to him, and he was doing that so what? So everyone could believe. John's whole gospel is written, why? So that you might believe. Chapter 20 tells us that Jesus did many more miracles than in this gospel, but these have been recorded so that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing on Him, you may have life and have it everlasting. Amen? That is the gift that we have. So John come to testify about the light so that all would believe in him. Now, verse 8 says, he was not the light, but he come to testify about the light. Now, fathers, I want to talk to you here a minute. Dads, God has called us to be witnesses. He's called us to the witness stand. So our family and our friends are like a jury. We're there to testify so that the jury could come to a decision about the truth of the case we're testifying in. We're to testify to the truth about Jesus, and we're to call our children to make a life-altering decision about Jesus. It's always about making a decision. Who's true? God. How do you know that? Because God is truth. We want to lead them to understand who God is, who Jesus is, why Jesus come to this earth, what he did while he was on this earth, where he is now, and that he's coming back. We want these truths. Now, he says here that he is not the light. Fathers, I know we like to think we're in charge at home, right? And some days we get to be till our wives get home about 4:30, 5 o'clock, right? Amen? John the Baptist here is to testify about the light, but it says he's not the light. In chapter 5, verse 35, Jesus says of John the Baptist, he says that he is a lamp shining. John the Baptist was a lamp. Now, if you've got a lamp, that's not the light. That's what reflects the light. You know, the old oil lamps that you used to have that had the shield behind them so the light would reflect out? This is what Jesus is talking about here. John the Baptist was to be a lamp shining. He was not the light. Jesus is the light. But he was the lamp. He was the one to shine or to point to the light. I said this with the ladies in the quilting ministry Thursday. It was real pretty outside. If y'all remember Thursday, it was nice and sunshiny. I said, how many of y'all today when you got out was walking through the parking lot? Said, look, the sun's shining. Hey, we knew the sun was shining, but we take it for granted, don't we? See, Romans chapter 1 says that we all know that God exists, but we take that for granted. Some days, we just need to point and say, look, sun's shining. Sun's out. We need to point to the light. And the light is Jesus. And it says here in verse 9 that John come bringing this message. He said there was a true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. It says he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own. He's talking about the Jewish people, and those who were his own did not receive him. So here's the message. John says in the beginning here of his gospel, he says in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and in the beginning he was with God. He says all things come into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines into darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend him. Fathers, we need to understand the gospel good enough to explain it to our family, to our children. And when we understand the gospel, we can explain it to them. You said, well, that's the problem, preacher. I just don't understand it good enough to explain. I'm going to tell you a secret I learned. Practice. Start wherever you're at. Do you believe Jesus lived? Yeah. Do you believe he died? Yeah. Do you believe he was buried? Yeah. Do you believe he rose? Yeah. Do you believe he died for your sins? Yeah. Tell your kids that. The more you read the Bible and the more you speak about Jesus, the more light will come in and the more you'll understand and the better you can explain that. Here it says that he was the true light. He come in the world to enlighten all men. In Isaiah 65, verse 1 and 2, listen what it says. It says, I permitted myself to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I permitted myself to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am. Here I am to a nation which did not call on my name. He says, I have spread out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in the way, which is not good. And it goes on. You know what God is saying? Y'all weren't looking for me. Y'all was happy with life just like it was. You was happy doing the things you was doing and had no consideration of me being your God, of me being in authority. He said, yet all day long I've been scratching out my hand so when you fall I can pick you up. And he says, you didn't ever see me. He says, my son who created the whole world, he's always eternally existed with me, yet he come to this earth so you could see the radiance of my glory in flesh. Jesus come to this earth so you could see how you should live under my authority. He died for your sins and he was innocent. Therefore, he paid the sin debt you owe. And he says, on the third day, he was resurrected. And this is one of my favorite parts about this. You got to tell your children this. The world's going to tell us something here that's it's wrong, bad wrong. They're going to say you got light and you got darkness. They are opposing. Light opposes darkness. Darkness opposes light. So you've got something that's created here called evil and you've got something here created that's called good. Good is equally okay here. Evil is equally okay here. And they always battling. God and Satan fighting. You heard that? You seen it TV shows? Sounds good, right? It's not true. Here's the truth. There's light. That's God. That's his goodness. And then there's evil. You know what this is? The absence of the light. Evil is simply the absence of God's goodness. It's the absence of the light. Verse 5 right here, John says that Jesus is the true light. He's the life that is the light. It says, verse 5, he shines into the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend, is one of our English translations, or did not understand it. But a better way to understand this, it did not overpower it. It did not overtake it. Anytime you got light, if it's a candle, if you light a candle in a dark room, it pushes the darkness back. I don't care how small the candle is. When you witness and testify about Jesus to your children, I don't care how small a witness it is, it's shining light into their life. And here he says he come into the world that he created, yet the whole world didn't even see the light. Chapter 3 says the reason they didn't see the light is because they didn't want to come out into the light, because they loved their evil deeds and they did not want them to be exposed. Do you know why a lot of people don't come to church when I invite them? Because they don't want to come to church because they don't want God convicting them. I can't save anybody, but if you get them under God's word and let the music plow their heart, the seed of the word be sowed in it, the Holy Spirit start growing, well, guess what happens? They get convicted. They start thinking, you know, my way might not be the best way. And they start seeing, hey, I haven't been living the life that God created me to live. And they're like, what am I going to do about it? Now here's what I like, and they just sung about this, about verse 5. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness didn't overpower it. Here's what John's saying if you read his whole gospel. Jesus Christ come to this earth, fully God and fully man. He set aside his glory and clothed himself in our humanity. He become human. It says in verse 14 that he took on flesh, that the word become flesh, so that he could have been tempted in all things that we are. And he was tempted in all things that we are, and yet without sin, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and following. He was tempted. He never sinned. Yet he set his face towards the cross of Calvary. And as he went towards Calvary and as he stopped and washed the feet of his disciples, he knew he was going to be rejected by the very world that he created. He knew he was going to be beat. He knew he was going to be maimed. He knew he was going to be stripped naked. He knew he was going to be nailed on a cross. The whole time his hands was being pierced and nailed to the cross and his feet nailed to the cross. The whole time that he was bleeding and dying, the whole time he was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was shining light into the darkness of an evil and deprived world. When he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? He was letting the Roman soldiers around him know that forgiveness is still available. When he said, Father, into my hands I commit my spirit, he said, my Father is faithful even when y'all are not faithful. Jesus said, I'm committing myself to die for your sins. And guess what? My Heavenly Father in 3 days is going to raise me. Now here's where the darkness couldn't overtake the light. When Jesus died, bowed his head, and said it is finished, and was buried, darkness rejoiced. Darkness says, I've won. I've defeated. It's no more light. We don't have to worry about it. Guess what? We can do what we want to. But you know what happened 3 days later? The stone rolled back. Jesus got up, folded his face cloth, and he walked out of that tomb. And you talking about light shining. That's called resurrection power. Never fail to tell your children that life is hard, but you tell them you got a Savior that will fill them with His Spirit, and He will forgive them of anything they've done, and He will transform and give them a new life, and that with resurrection power they can walk in the light of God. Jesus not only shines light so that we can see we need a Savior. After he saves us, he's the light that shines so we can walk in the path God lays out for us. The most important thing we'll ever do, fathers, is to testify that Jesus is the light, that Jesus is the only way to have a life eternal with God. It says here that they rejected him, but verse 12 says that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Dad, God uses our testimony to help the jury understand their decision to receive Jesus. John's testimony helped the jury understand their decision to receive Jesus as their Savior. What do you mean by that? We have to let our children know that it is not their family name that makes them good. It's not their family name that'll get them to heaven. I don't care if your grandma built this church. I don't care if your mama played the organ. We're all going to stand one day before God and give an answer for what we've done. And either I'm going to say, well, Lord, I know I did this, this, and this, but hey, do you remember that time I did do a few good things? And I'm going to be cast out. Or I'm going to say, Lord, I'm standing here with Jesus. He come and lived the life I should have. He died the death I deserved. And I know when you raised him, I asked him to forgive me. And he has shown light into my darkness. And I've tried to live by that light the rest of my life. And you say, well, what does that mean? It says, it means that if you receive Jesus based on what he's done for you in revealing that you are a sinner, he's your Savior, if you ask him for forgiveness, he will because he died for all your sins, then you can have a new life with him. And it's not because of your last name. It's not because you're American. It's not because you live in Lee County. It's not because you live in North Carolina. It's not because of anything on this earth except God's free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. He says it's not because you are sincere about spiritual things. Look here. He says it's not of blood nor of the will of the flesh. This word of the will of the flesh is the idea of a husband and wife coming together. It's the idea of passion, of idea of being sincere and coming together and producing a child. Hey, you can be sincere and say, yeah, I know that God exists. You can be sincere about them things, but not trust in Jesus, and you're still not saved. And it says, or by the will of man. You could make a plan. You could say, here's what we're going to do. Me and my wife has made a plan. We're going to have 2.5 kids, a 2-car garage, and a white picket fence, and we all going to be happy and go to heaven, right? Wrong. John says you need to tell your children the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus says no one comes unto the Father except through the Son. And Jesus also says that nobody comes to the Son unless he is drawn by the Father. The Father reaches out his hand and calls us because he sent Jesus to reveal himself to us. Verse 18 says that no one has seen the Father except for the only begotten God who's in the bosom of the Father, and he has explained him to us. When Jesus come, we saw the love of God on the cross. Between earth and heaven on the cross, Jesus Christ revealed the love of God and the justice of God meeting. When Jesus brought the love of God and took our sins upon himself in his body and died on a cross for us, we saw how much God loved us. He loved us enough to die for us so we could spend eternity with him. And he says to them, he gives the right to become, to be made new. We were in the darkness because we were spiritually dead. You say, well, I thought I was living. I was doing pretty good. Yeah, physically. But for 31 years, I was spiritually dead. I couldn't ever figure out why I wasn't happy. You know why I wasn't happy? I was missing something right here. It was called Jesus. I was spiritually dead. No matter what I looked for to fill that hole, it was more darkness. It might make me happy for a little while, but then when I realized through Scripture and testimony of people witnessing to me that Jesus died for me, and if I asked him for forgiveness, guess what? I am made or become a child of God. I'm recreated. The Bible calls that regenerated. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I've got a new outlook on life. My heart's changed. My thinking's changed. And that'll change the way I go. It wasn't behavior modification. It wasn't putting a lot of things down that I used to do. It was being made into a new person. And when we are made into a new person, we become what? The family of God. That's what hurts me so much, Father's Day and Mother's Day. I know that they're not really biblical holidays in the Bible. You don't find them in the Bible. We find them on our calendar and on a lot of Hallmark cards. But I can remember growing up, I don't care how big a sinner you was, Mother's Day, you sit beside your mama in church. Right? And fathers and sons, No matter whether you went to church the rest of the year or not, y'all usually showed up on Sundays, amen, for Father's Day. But nowadays, we don't even think about the family of God. We don't think about what the gift of God is to have a local church that we gather together to worship with God's people for a few minutes every Sunday so that we can be renewed for the rest of the week. So it is a gift of God, not a plan of man, that we are regenerated, reborn, that we are made into children of God. All those who believe upon Jesus' name. When you talk about believing on Jesus' name, you're talking about believing in Jesus' authority, Jesus' holiness, Jesus' character. Everything about Jesus is what you're believing in. I asked your dads. Accept God's call to the witness stand. Start standing up for your family. You say, well, my kids is grown. That don't matter. Either they believe in Jesus or they don't. Or they might believe in Jesus, they might accept him, and they might not be following him fully. You might know that it's some things in their life that God wants changed. Call them up today and witness to them. Be a witness to them. You say, well, I don't know. I've tried and tried, and I've prayed for my kids, and my kids just won't turn to the Lord. Did you notice there in that text when it said that Jesus come to his own, talking about the Jews? It says he come to his own, the Israelites, and the Israelites didn't receive him. But then he says, but as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Have you ever thought about some days when I'm talking to my son about, you know, you ought to have went to church today, and I know you didn't go, or, you know, you hadn't been in a while. I know it's a lot of things getting in the way with work and all this. When I'm talking to him, have you ever thought that my grandson might be overhearing him? And in my case, it might be my great-grandson. I know my son knows that, but God might be calling me to be a witness so my great-grandson will hear that. Same thing with you. It might be the little boy or little girl next door when you call to witness. We got to believe the truth about Jesus and be willing to be witnesses to his greatness. Let us pray. If you're here this morning, the most important thing you'll ever do is make the decision to receive Jesus, the Jesus that the Bible explains to us, the Jesus that loved you, lived sinless on this earth, died the death you deserve, and was resurrected so that you know your sins is paid for. If you don't know that, this morning it's just simple. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me. Take control of my life. Help me walk in the light, in the path that is pleasing to God the rest of my life. If you prayed that, raise your hand. If you're here this morning, you've been saved a long time, and you know you're going to heaven. You're serving the Lord. You're reading your Bible. You're praying. I'm asking you this morning, are you witnessing? Are you testifying to the greatness of God? We live in a dark, dark society where the world is estranged from God and they oppose everything that God says is right. I'm going to ask, are you that candle that wherever you go next week, you could just shine a little light into the darkness? Say right now, say, Lord, light my fire that I might shine for you next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
One song that's always special to us, and it kind of talks about what Pastor West was saying. Sometimes we ask ourselves, this was made famous by a song, Mr. Rusty Goodman, who said, who am I that God would give his life for me so that I might have eternal life? My answer to that is, you are a walking, talking miracle. You're made in God's image. He loves you no matter what. That's who you are. He loves you so much. Always remember. When I think how he came so far from glory, he came to dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer pain and such disgrace. I ask myself this question, who am I?
Thank y'all for joining us today, and y'all welcome back anytime. And we thank y'all for being here, and I thank y'all for being here. And You know, that's one of the things that we need to ask ourselves is who am I that Jesus loved us in the way that he did? And that'll help you be a witness when you do that, when you consider that it was all God's work and all we had to do was respond. You know, today is Father's Day, and my father passed away a long time ago, and I got several friends that are a lot older than me, and a lot of my friends are, and I usually call them on Father's Day. And this morning I wanted to pick up the phone and call one of them. But he's in heaven. But I was thinking about this sermon, and I never remember hanging up the phone with him when he wouldn't say, "Brother Wes, you know what the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is?" I said, "Tell me, Bobcat." He said, "Give your heart and soul to Jesus Christ." That's the way he'd always end every conversation when we hung up. I challenge you today, your loved ones and your friends, tell them that the most important decision they'll ever make on this earth is to give their heart and soul to Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, Father, we come before you and just thank you. Lord, we thank you for shining light into darkness that we could see. Not only that we were sinners, but that we needed a Savior. That you revealed yourself to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and you walked among us and was tempted in all things as we are, and yet you never sinned, but you died for our sins. And Lord, I pray that each of us understands that gift. And if we've decided to accept that gift, that Lord, out of an attitude of gratitude, we walk in the light next week so others can see you living in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all for being here today. God bless, and I forget all the time, but we hadn't been passing the offering plates because of COVID, but the white buckets is where the offering goes. Thank you.